passe un artiste super encore un but sensationnel.
That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé.
Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagolsen. Sagolsen setter det hen! Han setter den! De I semifinale igjen!
Welcome to another episode of the Uninformed Handball Hour, and we are back for part two of the interview with Christina Niagu. If you enjoyed part one, we really think you're going to enjoy part two even more. So I won't say much more. How about we just get straight into it?
You mentioned that the move to Budućnost led on this incredible period of your career, winning the Champions League in 2015. And at the end of that year, we're back in Denmark for the World Championship. And a lot of potential reasons why this was so meaningful for you. But what stands out for you?
Yeah, I need to say that Denmark, it's one of my favorite places ever to play handball. And these medals that they are connected to Denmark. And now we have this championship, the Euro 2020, playing also Denmark, Norway. So actually, when I think about it, it comes to my mind, okay, this is the time, you know, this is the place. Of course, that right now things are totally changed, and about this coronavirus, we don't know the rules, we don't know what will happen. At the moment, it seems that staying free of coronavirus is more important than performing and playing, you know, because we are all scared to don't get it because we are not able to play and train. So things are changed. But going back to that, I need to say that 2015 was definitely the best year of my career and the year I enjoyed the most and I loved the most memories when I remember it. And going back to this World Championship, there is a story that changed everything and that was a really big lesson for me and the memory for life. We played this first week. We knew how important this championship was for going to Olympic Games. It's like that all the time, you know, the tournament before the Olympic qualifiers is the most important. And I was feeling very good, you know. I was in a great shape. I was just thinking about going to Rio, getting a medal to Rio, also going to the World Championship and have a great World Championship. And this was everything I had in my mind. Then I went to the national team and things were not good. We were not playing good and we didn't know what was the reason, you know, that because players were also playing good in their clubs. So it felt that it's not about handball. So we played this first group and we lost 3 games in a row, but we beat these teams that allow us to play the 8th final. It was this system with the eliminatory system. So we were going to meet Brazil in the 8th final, which was the world champion back then in 2013. And things were not good at all inside the team. And I didn't know what to do. And then I called my friend Anya Anderson. And I don't know if you know, but she was my coach in Olkim for a very short period. She always told me that I am a leader, even if I'm young, but I still don't know it. I called her and I started to complain. I said, Anya, look, you said to me that I can be a leader, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to help these girls. I'm in a good shape, but I want to help the girls because I know that if they will play good, then this is the way we can win something. Because no matter what I will do, we cannot do it. And I cannot do it alone. And I wanted to be there for them. And she had this great idea of telling me, Chris, look, I think you should just go on a meeting with your teammates. Just tell them how you feel. Tell them what you think about everything. Be honest to each other. And I said, okay, that won't be easy because it's not easy to open yourself to others. You know, it's never easy to do it. But I will give it a try because it was like tomorrow we play against Brazil and if we go home, then we don't have any chance to play the qualifiers for Olympic Games. And I want so badly to go to Olympic Games. This is what I did. You know, I called the girls and we did this meeting. I opened up myself to them like never, saying that I need them as much as they need me. That even if I look so serious all the time, I still have a lot of emotions, you know, but I just keep them inside. But I just want to open up to them and show them the real me. And I found out that actually everyone had a lot of things to open up about. And it was really emotional meeting. We cried, then we spoke about a lot of things. And then in the end of the meeting, after 3 hours, we decided that we will play for us, you know, that for us, for our families, for people who support us. It was about finding a bigger goal than just saying a medal, you know. We found that bigger goal. And then we went the second day on the court against Brazil. And I think if we would play for 3 weeks, Brazil will never win against us. You know, we were that strong mentally and that united as a team, you know, and that changed everything, everything. And then we played Brazil. We played against Denmark again in the quarterfinal. And that was one of the greatest moments of my career. Again, 12,000 people in the stands. Very important game, and we qualified in extra time in the semifinals, and we had a great game against Norway in the semifinals. I think it was the greatest game of the year that year. We lost in the extra time and played for the bronze, but we won easily the bronze. So this was actually the moment that was the most important for me, not the medal, not the fact that we were going to play qualifiers for Olympics. Was that moment that changed everything. And that showed me that no matter how good player you are or how many good players you have in a team, if you are not united as a team and if you are not willing to give everything for each other, you will never win something. And for me, that was the most important lesson, maybe for my entire career, you know. It's not the goal itself. It's the journey you have there together with your teammates and how much you are willing to give to each other and to sacrifice for each other to achieve something. And for me, that was the most important.
It's a phenomenal story, and I can picture the room now, and it's these kind of thing in sports movies, you know, the turning point that you expect to see when everyone opens up. And it was quite literally a turning point for you and the team, and going that on that great run to the bronze. You said it was a huge lesson for you, and had it immediately changed the way that you approach any team that you play on now, and teammates that come in to try and be open and honest with them in that way and try to cultivate that culture within the team you're on?
Yeah, I change a lot. Of course, that people who don't know me from before, maybe they think that I'm still like a closed-in person, you know. But I think I change a lot from that moment, and I tried. I'm not the most open person in the world, that's for sure, and I know it. You know, it's very hard for me to get close to people and to open myself. But from that moment on, I try to do it. And now I think I'm actually much better to it, and I can see that it makes a difference. 100% it makes a difference. So I'm happy that I could live that myself and that I could see it with my eyes. What can small things actually mean inside the team, you know? And I'm trying to do it. I'm struggling sometimes, it's true. I'm aware of it. But I'm more open now than before, 100%. And I will try, and I'm thinking about it all the time, and I'm trying to get better at it.
Well, the fact that you can talk about it, I think, is a huge sign of it as well, of what a change you're making. And it's wonderful to get your perspective on it. It's really, really cool. If we move forward to 2018 then, and we're in France again. So we've been in Denmark twice here, and we've been in France on this journey twice. After that start and beating Norway in the group phase, did you think that 2018 was your year?
Yeah, and I need to say that first of all, when I knew the tournament will be in France, my mind just flew away to this moment, 2007, you know? And I said, okay, I want to go to this Paris-Bercy again in this nice hall after 11 years. And I want to be there again. In the big games, you know, I want to play for a medal again. And the first moment I went to the national team preparing for this tournament, for the Euro 2018, I said to my teammates, believe me, I was there in that hall. It's really one of the nicest halls I've been in. And we need to be there again. And I think we can be there and play for a medal in Paris-Bercy. And we went with this in our minds, you know. And when we start like that and we played so good, of course, that more and more I believed in it. I think actually that if I would not get injured, we would have had a good chance to win a medal. You never know now, because it didn't happen, and I don't know if we could do it. But thinking about how the team was and the confidence we had, I think we could do it back then in France.
Thinking back then, and like the tournament that Karina Pintea had was phenomenal throughout the whole few weeks. And as you said, the injury, and it happened right at the end of the Hungary game, if I'm not mistaken, the last game of the main round. And it was a really tense evening anyway, because there were so many teams in contention for the semifinal. And then all I remember when it happened was all of a sudden the sport didn't matter anymore for everyone involved. Everyone's attention and feeling switched to you immediately at that time. And all I guess I can ask you is about whether the past injuries and everything you went through obviously couldn't have helped straight away, but helped you eventually get into the right mind frame.
It definitely helped me, 100%. The point is that in 2018, we really got close as unity of the team, like 2015. And we were like very close to each other. We had a great team spirit that year. And of course, we had the confidence that we can do it, you know. And suddenly when I broke the ACL, it wasn't only about me, you know. The whole team felt it somehow. All the players felt it inside, you know. I remember I went after that game in the dressing room. I know we lost by 2, but it was the exact difference that we needed to go to the semifinal. No one went into the shower or something. Everyone was just waiting to see what is happening with me, you know. And I went in the locker room, and when they saw me, they started to cry, you know. You could feel the connection we had, you know. They started to cry, and I started to cry because I couldn't help myself at that point. But I said, okay, we are in the semifinals. You can do it without me. And I tried to be again strong, because this is what I did all my life. You know, I just tried to be strong for myself, for the people around me. And people sometimes cannot see actually how I feel, how I really feel. Something broke inside the team the moment I broke my ligament. It wasn't only about me. It was about us, the way we were together as a team. And I know they tried so hard. They tried so hard to do a great semifinal for me also, to be there, because they knew how much I wished to have played in that hall, to have had the chance for the medal, you know. And for me, that was everything I needed, to see them like that, to see them together, to have the same unity and to give their best. And I think they did. Even if we came back with the fourth place, actually, that place helped us to qualify to the Olympic qualifiers. That fourth place helped us to qualify to this European Championship. So actually, it was not in vain, you know, the fact that I got injured. It was actually a good place that helped us for the future. And coming back to what you asked me, yes, it definitely helped me. You know, I saw everything with a lot of positivity. I broke my cross ligament and I said, okay, that happened because I was tired. I just pushed my body over and over the limits. And at some point I was just, this can happen, you know, because it's too much. I could not rest. I was extremely tired. But this, you know, adrenaline, playing for the semifinal and so on, I just forgot about everything, you know. I just went there and sacrificed my body, to be honest, you know. But I don't regret it. I'll do it over and over again, because this is the way I do things, 100%, every time. Since I stepped on the handball court, in my personal life, in everything I do it 100%. So I took everything like, okay, I will do the surgery and I will come back, as I always do. But the problem is that things didn't go so good, you know. I had some small problems after the surgery. When I started to walk, I felt something was wrong. I had a lot of pain in my knee. I did an MRI. after 3 months, and the doctor said I have a small fibrosis in my knee, but it should not be dangerous, just to keep working and we'll see what happens, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, I will do it. But I had a lot of inflammation all the time. My knee was so swollen all the time, and I was training like that with pain and swelling. It was not nice. It was not a good feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. And after 5 months, I did a second MRI because things were not good. And my doctor said, okay, we need to clean the knee. We should do an arthroscopy because this fibrosis is pretty big and you cannot continue like that. That's why you have the swelling and so on. I was actually preparing to slowly go back on the court, you know, and when I heard that, I was like, okay, but I accepted, you know, I said, okay, let's do it. We did that. And the problem was that also was not good afterwards. And I did a lot of injections meanwhile, you know, I did like a lot. I would not say the number, but it's over 10 in the last 1 year and a half. I did everything I could. I didn't know what to do anymore, but my knee was still not good. People started to wonder why I'm still not there. It was 9 months, 10 months since my surgery, and I was still not playing, you know. And I didn't want to tell anyone about what is happening. I didn't want to hear like, oh, she will finish her career, this is over and so on. I just wanted first to be back, and then, okay, I would share my story with others and tell them what I've been through and how hard it was. But look, I'm still here and I'm back again, you know. So they said to me last year in October that there is a chance to do a third surgery because I was not good. And I said, no, this is not going to happen. I will not accept this. I will just start to play. And we'll see what happens. And then I took this decision with the doctor of my team here. And I said, okay, I will try for 1 month. If I cannot play, then I will do the surgery. But if it will be okay to handle, I will continue. And of course, that I didn't think about it. For me, it was not an option. So I started to play. I had a lot of pain, a lot of swelling after the games. I need to skip a lot of trainings. And then I said, okay, I will go to the World Championship in Japan. You know, it was crazy because my knee was not good at all. And we had so many games during the days, no breaks. And I had a lot of swelling. I could not recover, actually, you know. But I said, okay, I will just keep going. And after this, I took a break. And from January, things started suddenly to get better with the knee, you know. And now it's much better. It's not perfect. I still have some swelling and some things inside because they should be cleaned at some point. But I said, no, I'm good now. And I was super positive, you know, and now I cannot complain. It's actually really, really good comparing to 1 year ago. So, but the pandemic came and you know how it went afterwards.
Any kind of doubt in situations like this come across in your mind with the knee, or you're just happy to be able to play? Like the pain is just something that comes with it.
No, I didn't get any doubts. I said, okay, if I need to do a third surgery, I will do it, but not now. I wanted so desperately to play that I said, not now. I need to try, you know. And now, no, it's just part of myself. Doing this whole recovery process with ice and stretching and I don't know, massage and so on, is for me, it's like eating breakfast, you know. I'm so used with the pain and everything that I don't even think about it. If you ask me, hey, you have pain in your shoulder? I would say, no, I don't have, but I have, you know. Or you have pain in your knee? Oh, no, I don't have it. I chose not to think about it and just go on and see if it will get better. And it actually got better.
There you go. That's just part of life now, huh?
Yes, exactly.
You mentioned before that in December with the European Championship, it's a lot of uncertainty, of course, that things aren't the way they're used to be, the way that we're used to having it. Also with players being unavailable with COVID and things like that. All things considered, we are going back to Denmark and Norway if everything goes to plan. What position do you feel that you're in and that the team is in now in comparison to recent years?
Well, if we think about it, it's the most important tournament before still Olympic qualifiers and Olympic Games. So I think that most of the teams, if they will have the players healthy, free of this COVID, will come with the best teams and try to have the best tournaments preparing for Olympic qualifiers. For our team, I don't know. We also changed a lot of players lately. Players don't have so much experience. Now, of course, depends who will be there, because we also have players that have been before and have experience. So I don't actually know which will be our position in this Euro. For sure, we will try to give our best to go further from the first group, to go in the main round and see what happens from there. It's actually very similar to 2 years ago. Our group, we played Norway, Germany and Poland, and we played Norway, Germany and Czech Republic 2 years ago. And also the main round is very similar to the main round from 2 years ago. So we will see, of course, that we want to see which is our level, you know, because we are there in having the cards for the Olympic qualifiers and we want Olympic Games. So I really think that this tournament, it's important for showing us the level we have and what we have to improve to get better, to get through these qualifiers. Now we have a new coach, for sure that he has his own goals. My goal, after being so many years to the national team, of course, every year I go to a tournament, no matter which is it, I want to be there in the first places and go home with medals. But I also mostly want now that I go to the Olympic Games, because I think it will be my last chance to go to some Olympic Games. Mm. So I always aim for the best, you know. I always aim for medals and for playing good. But this situation, it's also really hard. We still don't know which players will go there, which are healthy, which will not be healthy. So in all this context, I don't know. I think we also need to be a little bit lucky, you know, and be healthy. And if we are healthy, starting from there to see which level we can achieve during the tournament and going as far as possible. I never think about, I don't know, being in the middle of the board or in the end. I always want to aim for the best. And if you will ask me that, I will answer the same every time. For me, the second place or third or fifth or 15 doesn't exist. I want to be there on the first place, but I'm also realistic, you know, because the situation is how it is. And when we change a lot of players, but I hope who will come to the national team realizes how important the national team is, then that you need to give maybe 200% to be good for the national team instead of what you give to your club team. I hope we will have a good tournament. I think it's very important for the team to see its level and to see the chances we get for March for the Olympic qualifiers.
Now, we asked you for half an hour at the beginning, so I'm already very thankful for the time you've given. It's been incredible to talk to you, like really wonderful insight into your career, particularly with Romania. So I'll just ask you one question then before we leave you for the evening. We've covered these 13 years since your first international tournament with the team. Has the meaning of playing for Romania changed for you very much over those 13 years?
For me, playing for Romania, it's the best thing that could happen in my career. I'm my heart is for the national team. It have always been like that since the beginnings of my career. And it's been rough sometimes during the years. Maybe we didn't have the best team. Maybe things didn't go how I wanted them to go or something like that. But I have always went to the national team with an open heart. And I'm grateful that I can be part of the history of the national team of handball team of Romania. And every time I will be there with the team, I will give my best. So no doubts about that. And it have been a very hard period for me lately with these injuries and COVID situation. And I don't feel that I'm at my best, for sure. But I will try to give the maximum I can in the next period for the club these 2 weeks, and also for the national team in Denmark, Norway. I'm really happy to go back there. I know we play in Norway, but it's still 50-50 with Denmark, so it brings good memory back to my head. Yeah, I'm a nationalist for sure. I'm a nationalist, and I will be like that, and I'm proud and grateful that I can represent Romania on any kind of handball tournament.
Particularly ones that are associated with Denmark.
Especially.
Christina, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time and for giving us this kind of insight. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Christina, for a very, very insightful interview. And Chris, were you a little bit surprised by how much she opened up with there in parts of that interview?
Yeah, I think you could probably hear it in my voice and some of the things I say, how surprised I was. I think she was incredibly open. And already the feedback I'd gotten from some people after the first episode, the first half of the interview, was that they were really happy with how open she was and some of the topics that she discussed. And I think it got even juicier in that second bit. That story about the day before the Brazil game at the 2015 World Championship, I think, was fantastic. And we spoke at the end of the last podcast about like the sports movie aspect. And I said that that moment was still coming, and it really did come in that. It was a great turning point, not just for that current Romania team as they ended up getting a bronze medal in that championship, but also for her personally. I'd be interested to know what other people who have interacted with her over the years has to say about that as well, because, you know, she was saying she made a real concerted effort then to be more open, to be more giving to people in public and within her teams in the years after that. So, yeah, fantastic opportunity to pinpoint what that moment was for her and the real impact it made on her life.
Yeah, and again, very clear memories and great recall of all these little details, which I find absolutely fascinating. But one thing which I found also very interesting was when she was talking about the injuries as well, and it really is her handball first and her body second, the way she was talking about, I'm going to play handball, I'm going to give it 100%, I'm going to put my body in line again. If I get injured, I'm going to come back like I always do. And I'm not sure I give that as advice to any young handballers out there. If you're injured, rest up. But but to play at the very, very top level and to do what she's done, I think you almost need to have that mindset, you know. And that was fascinating. And I had no idea that her knee issues most recently were as bad as they were, and that she was playing through such pain. I remember at the time there was stuff floating around on social media asking and wondering why she was taking so long to come back from that injury. But I didn't know the extent of the pain she was suffering with that injury. So that's really, really incredible.
Yeah, well, the only thing I can compare it to when we're comparing Christina Niagara's and my career is that we've had our fair share of injuries. And that's where the comparison ends. So I know how long it can take to come back from an ACL injury. I did it 3 times. The first time came back way too quick. The last time I spent about 12 to 14 months on it. So. And interesting that she said also she didn't want to tell anyone at the time, add fuel to the fire of whether she should retire or not. And there's parallels there to Nora Merck as well, because she was going through something quite similar at the time as well. Also coming back from a knee injury, and she didn't tell anyone that she had had another surgery in the middle of all that as she was trying to come back, a minor surgery to help with the problems. And now she is open about that in the aftermath, which I think is a good way to go about it when you're actually able to play at a high level again and not worry about the knee so much. So it also puts the whole Nora Merck thing into perspective as well, where people talk about whether she should really be trying to continue or not. Probably a great thing for Merck is that she was in the same club, not really playing alongside, but in the same club as Niagu for a year while she was going through that, because I think as we can hear from that interview, that Niagara's a fantastic role model in that sense and must have been an inspiration for anyone coming back from an injury like that.
That detail she gave about when she was injured and in the dressing room afterwards, and everyone was just kind of waiting for her. Nobody had went to the shower. That just shows you the effect that she has on the team or her presence has on the team. I think overall, and now that that interview series has concluded, I think probably my three biggest, or what I was impressed with the most, is just three factors where I think were the level of honesty that she seems to have in terms of talking about things she's done, things she could maybe do better, the ability to reflect really well on all the different events. And she really has almost like a video recording memory of all the games she's played and all those big moments. And then obviously then the persistence as well. So I think those three things were things which really stood out to me over the two interviews.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great way to get this series of EHF Euro 2020 started with a player. And also remember that at the beginning of this year, we put Cristina Niagu in our team of the decade.
Yeah.
Cristina Niagu had left back in our team of the decade. And our next interview is with the center back of that team of the decade. So we're really going all out here at the beginning of this EHF Euro 2020 series. And would you like to introduce our next guest, Brian?
Our next guest is the one and only Andrea Lekic.
Yes, that's coming out on Thursday. So just a few days to wait for that one as Andrea Lekic talks to us about her days with Serbia. A very similar approach to this one, looking at the biggest moments in her international career and one particular tournament which changed her life as a handball player. Definitely one to look forward to, and you won't have long to wait. Just three more days until that one is out. So I hope you'll join us all then. So until then, Brian Campion, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chris.
We'll see you on Thursday. Goodbye.